Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson. It is October the 4th, 2016. This is Anti Media Radio. Live right now is Mike and Tim's Vice Presidential Comedy Hour. Mike Pence coming across like he was part of the space program in the late, and Tim Kaine coming across like he is Hillary Clinton's hag, and they go shopping together. But she's, of course, the one pulling out the credit card, paying for everything. I'm going to go ahead and bring on our guest host this evening, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, what's up?
Oh, living the dream, Mr. Gibson. How are you this evening?
Oh, I can't complain. Watching the theater. It's more entertaining than I thought. I have to admit, Tim Kaine's really sloppy and not a very good politician, so it's pretty funny.
He doesn't really have to be if you think about it, but yeah, we'll talk about that here in a minute.
We will. And Kevin Knight, Kevin, what's going on?
What's up, man? Doing the same, watching this debate, so-called debate anyways. But yeah.
I tell you what, before we get into all that, I just want to go ahead and reiterate what the top story in the world is right now, is getting the necessary attention, and we're going to be talking about it at length tonight, amongst some other stuff as well, but Russia, the situation with Russia right now is dire. Like, it's really, really, really bad. Both candidates you saw tonight, you know, you've got a lot of people talking about Trump being in bed with Putin, but you got Mike Pence going off on him right now as well. And of course, Hillary has talked about going to war with Russia if necessary. And when she talks about having no fly zones in Syria, that's exactly what she's saying. If she knows anything, she knows the implications of doing that. So, yeah, please pay attention to Russia. We've got two big ones right now about Russia in the news. 40 million citizens are preparing, basically, to go to war, nuclear arms, similar to the Cold War. I don't know if either one of y'all, Kevin or Shannon, kept up with this today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty scary that you've got all these people running drills. It's a four-day drill that's going to include 200,000 rescue professionals, tens of thousands of emergency vehicles, and an estimated 40 million civilians from around the country.
Wow. Yeah, so it's like, you know, pretty much what we talked about with Jade Helm on a and again, that was just a military exercise. But this is actually involving all the citizens, emergency personnel, I mean, you have the whole entire populace is in, and it's a 4-day drill that is engaged in this. It's that's terrifying. Can you imagine actually preparing for nuclear war? Do you think our government would actually seriously prepare us for nuclear war instead of the duck and cover crap from back in the 50s?
Well,
that's a good question. But I'd have to ask the same about Russia. At the same time, it's kind of hard to. I don't know. There's so much coming from every angle, and yeah, the Russia and the U.S. have been. This has been going on for quite a while, a couple years now. That it looks like they've both they've been trying to go to war over Syria, and yeah, we may be headed towards that. It's just, I don't know, it seems odd that I'm surprised that a government, any government, especially one that big, would care. I'm not used to the idea of governments actually caring for their citizens, put it that way. So it makes, I have to be at least a little skeptical if there's not at least a, at this country, at least the government here celebrates, uses 9/11 to bring the country together. This seems like a great excuse if indeed it is not, who knows, like I said, maybe it is the real deal, but if nothing more than just practice, but who knows, it's scary, but I'd like to think that we'll see cooler heads prevail, but who knows.
Well, here's what to me adds to it. We've got another story on the front page right now of antimedia.org, and Russia withdraws from nuclear agreement, citing U.S. trust. And I'll just run through it real quick. With tensions between the U.S. and Russia on the rise, the Russian government today withdrew from the Plutonium Management and Disposition Agreement, a treaty which the two countries have both of them reducing their stockpiles of excess weapons-grade plutonium, converting the fuel, blah, blah, blah. The Russian foreign minister said that it is because of the atmosphere of trust which could encourage cooperation has been destroyed, and Putin's actually set out a series of conditions for Russia. Most people are looking at his, grievances. Well, what is basically grievances with the United States? Those are his conditions. It's including for the U.S. to remove sanctions against Russia over Crimea, and with the withdrawal, it's really seen as a symbolic thing. But I think with the preparations going on the other side, I mean, it looks like they're taking this really seriously.
Well, it comes on the back of Germany's doing
gotta,
the same.
I got to ask this question to both of you guys, though: who's the aggressor here? Who's the bad guy?
Oh, God. I thought about that yesterday. If this had been 40 years ago, we'd have been drummed out of our homes, for thinking that back during the Cold War and the 60s and whatnot. But, yeah, it's hard to argue that the U.S. federal government is not the aggressor, in my opinion.
It certainly feels that way. I mean, when the situation in Syria, for whatever's going on, there's death on both sides of it. It's a bad, bad, bad situation there. But Putin was invited to be there. The United States was not.
Why was he invited?
Because there's a civil war going on, and there are ISIS.
ISIS. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about ISIS, because ISIS has definitely been in the news, just like Kim Kardashian recently. Let's not forget ISIS now.
Well, it's not just ISIS.
As superstars go, ISIS definitely trumps Kim Kardashian. Can we all safely agree on that? ISIS is definitely a bigger star.
A lot of it's the civil war, but the fact that the United States has played both sides against itself in Syria. They funded every side they could find.
Russia has had a long agreement and kind of a partnership with Assad's government. And I was listening to a Russian customer of mine was telling me that in his opinion, that the war in Syria obviously has not been good for obviously the Syrians, but not good for the rest of the world either, and that he was arguing that Russia thought it was their responsibility to try to stem the tide of all of the chaos that is being breed out of the Middle East, and which it's been doing so for the last, you know, almost two decades. So that seems like a real noble idea. I'd like to think that that's the case, and it very well may be. But at this point, the United States government's got egg on its face and blood on its hands. And
well, that's how the United States sells how we're supposed to be over there, how the, you know, the U.S. government's supposed to be over there. It's for everybody's own good. We're just trying to fix it, guys.
Kumbaya.
Right. That's how they sell it.
Kumbaya. Yeah, it really is, man. But, you know, we didn't go, what, 2 years ago when the supposed red line was crossed?
Three and now.
It's been three now. The American... It seems like, you know, it's Americans, unfortunately, have a short attention span. But, you know, they, for the most part, stopped the last war. They'd like to think this next one's going to be stopped. But my fellow Americans, I don't have a lot of faith in you as a group.
Well, people, you know, I think people collectivized and did everything they could to stop it in 2013. And what I see is there was public pushback when they were advertising that we were going to go to war. So I think what the U.S. government did is said, okay, we'll just do what we want and not advertise it. I still get the impression, as much as I have got a long list of grievances of my own of Barack Obama, I believe that he's drug his feet on war with Syria. Even though you wouldn't know it, you think about how they were promoting war in 2013. I think about if John McCain went to war in 2008. You think, I certainly don't. Romney either, for that matter. Romney was talking about Russia in 2012 when nobody was talking about him.
So it was that, Palin.
Yeah, because she can see it from her backyard, remember?
Right, right, yeah, I know, yeah, right, that's what I was referring
Hands
to.
Hands across the water. I miss old Sarah Palin. That's my buddy right there.
She not on a reality TV show now doing something?
She is a reality TV show. What are you talking about?
She's something. Didn't she get arrested or jacked or something and robbed in Paris the other day?
That was another
reality star. They all run together.
I block all of that out of my mind. I just think about just beautiful Sarah Palin, probably about maybe 15, 20 years ago, after the pageants, but still firm and supple.
Back when she was doing, yeah, I won't say that. Never mind.
Kevin, you're ruining my fantasy right now. Hang on one second.
Okay. It probably actually wouldn't ruin it, to be honest with you. It would just add another element. But I'll leave it for another time. But, you know...
Go ahead, Kevin.
No, go ahead. Well, anyways, I was fixing to say, you know, I'm reminded, you know, you guys were... the anti-media was putting out a lot of... During that whole run-up to that debate, or to that what we thought was going to be war in Syria, the anti-media was really churning out a lot of the media that the you know, that was right on top of it as it was happening. And in fact, I was reminded that anti-media's Claire Burnish, I think she still does a couple articles here and there for the anti-media. She was called out as one of Putin's, what did they call her? I don't know if you guys remember it, but she was called out in a big post and was named as one of the Kremlin's more or less talking heads, or was doing something. Propagandist piece, and you know, it just sounds so it sounds so overdramatic and so unrealistic, and it just it speaks to really what kind of propaganda war is being fought here.
Well, especially if you know Claire, you know, come on. <now.
laughs> I tell you what, speaking of propaganda, I've got to touch on this story. The Pentagon spent half a billion, with a B, $500 million into making propaganda for terrorists. The Bureau of Investigative Journalism reported on the revelation that the Department of defense spent more than $500 million from 2007 to 2011 creating fake news and propaganda from terrorist groups in Iraq. There was a British PR firm that they had doing most of it. It was top secret propaganda. Bell Pottinger's output included short TV segments made in the style of Arabic news networks and fake insurgent videos, and could be used to track the people who watch them. That's supposedly...
Fake insurgent videos. Where have we heard that term before? I think we've made a few suppositions about the quality of the ISIS videos recently, but please continue.
That supposedly is the reason, that's the excuse and the reason being given as to why they did it, is that it was so they could track the people who watch it. And they said there was a code embedded into it where the IP addresses could, it could go back and tell you watched it, blah, blah, blah.
That sounds about as realistic as sending guns and firearms across the border and pretending like a RFID chip or a security number is going to supposedly lead you to the cartels that are trafficking weapons, the said weapons.
Or God forbid, a kiddie porn film to try to snare some Yeah, I mean, yeah, really, that's the same rationale.
Who is writing these propaganda articles? Can you imagine how many people that it must take to completely to churn out this stuff? Does it take a lot of people? Does it only take a small ministry of truth to do it? I mean,
you would think it would be very compartmentalized and really.
It has to be.
You're talking about $540 million. That's a lot of money. That can fund quite a staff.
Well, you got to keep really, really quiet to do it, too.
You got to pay some people off, too, right? So,
you know, I don't know. It's a really good question, but it's just nuts to think that all this is another thing that people have long suspected, and, you know, here we are.
Well, and it's not the first time either. It's you know, this has happened actually a few times. Even with Saddam, you know, there were videos made of Saddam. There were videos made of Osama bin Laden. And a lot of times, for whatever reason, the U.S. government, I think it's interesting that a lot of times they farm this stuff out to what looks like British organizations. So,
I personally, you know, I can't speak to what really happened. I don't know. But from my own eyes, my own viewing, I don't believe that any video post 2001-2002 era of bin Laden, that just don't look like the same guy. It really doesn't.
No.
You know, if you read this article, I like this part.
Is it him or not? I don't know.
Bell Pottinger would send teams out to film low definition video of Al Qaeda bombings, and then edit it like a piece of news footage. It would be voiced in Arabic and distributed to TV stations across the region. The American origins of the news items were sometimes kept hidden. Interesting stuff. You can't make this up, man.
No, you can't. The bin Laden stuff's always been a huge question mark to me, because admittedly, I do understand the
principle. He was buried at sea with honors.
I get the argument that people are going to say, well, you know, he was the most wanted man in the world. He's going to try to look different. But think about
it. But he didn't look different. He still wore his camo and his headgear and his
gear. Somebody did. Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, he didn't look. He didn't try. To me, he looked like somebody. Anyways, I'm sorry, but he didn't look like he was trying to go out of his way to look like. He just didn't look like the same person.
Yeah, he didn't dye his hair blonde and slick it back. And in his next video, he was wearing an eye patch and had a monkey on his shoulder. Yeah,
right. It's the same character being played, but obviously, I would have to agree with you. It looks like it doesn't look like the same guy.
And this is one thing, and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but another one's, you know, right when they caught him, do you remember they released those videos of him watching the news? It was just him sitting in a room with the back of his head to the camera and just watching TV. Now, I had multiple questions at the time, and of course, everybody's to me, oh, you get over it, you're an idiot, you know, But first off, I was like, why is this guy just filming himself watching TV? First off, the back of his head makes no sense. Second off, they were talking about people were like, because it was so remote of a location as far as technology, the people would have to use cell phones. They'd drive all this way because, you know, no, they didn't want any trace of anything getting back to where he was. It's like he's watching cable television and there's wires all behind the TV. What are you talking about? They're going all this way not to have signal come into this place. And you can't use a cell phone when he's clearly... There's satellites hooked up to your house. I never got that, but whatever. Who knows what happened? And they buried him at sea. Yeah, and we never saw his body. Who knows? Whatever. It's just another thing that gets under my skin because it just seems pretty shady. The truth of
well,
it,
now,
who knows?
Let's go a little further into this story just for a second. Because they had some what they refer to as black ops, Bell Pottinger did. And what they would do is they would create fake Al-Qaeda propaganda videos, and then they basically just would put them on a CD, and they'd be about 10 minutes long or so. And what it is they encoded it onto these CDs that automatically had a link to it that when you played the CD on your computer or whatever, it automatically sent a little small little post-it note via Google over to NSA to get, you know, I guess put wherever such a little post-it note would go. I don't know, Department of Homeland Security, maybe the military gets a copy of it, whatever. And what they would do is that the Marines would go to the each house as they were conducting their quote-unquote searches. And some houses that were people that were completely innocent, they would go ahead and ransack the house and rummage and look for stuff. And as they were looking for stuff, they would just kind of drop the CD. So the people would put all their stuff back together. They'd see the CD. It's like, what is this? And they pop it in their computer. And as soon as they popped in their computer to watch it, it would send a little post-it note that they were watching it. And then, of course, they would have, kind of keep track of how many times that copy has been played, IP addresses where it's been played, so on and so forth, to build a case against these people. I would imagine in some cases, that's a supposition right there. That's not part of the story, but that's what we'd be being told.
That's what we'd be being told. And I'm sure, you know, that's probably what some people are doing. I'm sure that's sounds like something out of a movie. But it's just so – it makes you wonder when you see articles about the Pentagon's terrorist group fighting the CIA's terrorist group. It just makes you wonder what would be the ulterior motive or what's necessarily behind a huge NSA program, a program that goes out. It just speaks to the different sides that are being played here. And it really makes you wonder, you know. I mean, who knows what kind of ulterior motive it could be. Maybe that was the truth, but, the same government spies on us here at home that spies on supposedly these guys, so it doesn't really necessarily make me feel a whole lot better either way.
But, I tell you what, I want to jump to this real quick because it's kind of along the same lines. Did y'all hear about the Yahoo stuff today?
I read, a tad bit.
Okay, well, I want to read just a quick little excerpt from The Intercept, but it was actually originally reported by Reuters. They had the exclusive on it. So what it is Yahoo designed an email wiretap service for the U.S. government. So they were allowing the U.S. government to directly have access to emails, and it was just all out in the open and being spied on. Reuters' Joseph Min is reporting that just last year, Yahoo chose to comply with a classified directive to build a custom software program to search all of its customers' incoming emails for specific information provided by U.S. intelligence officials, the NSA, in particular. That goes back exactly to what we're talking about with the NSA. It's still unknown what the specific information was or is, but...
Or their intent once they gathered it.
Correct. But we know that your emails, if you had a Yahoo account, they were exposed to other people to read them, is what it appears.
And guess who among the three of us has a Yahoo account and has had one for, gosh, since Yahoo was a thing?
Not I.
It's like I'm getting a new email account.
It does appear you and like 12 other people need to all go ahead and not have a Yahoo account anymore.
Yahoo's still got, there's still some people on the Yahoo. Usually it's, I guess it's probably just force of habit.
But you know what? That could come out about Gmail or whoever you want tomorrow.
That's what I'm waiting.
Right. Yeah, it's not going to be shocked. Speaking of Google, latest leak came out from the Clinton Foundation. And there's, of course, a ton of information in it again. And about how they've been making money. They were using TARP money to do all this kind of crazy stuff. But one of it was the CEO of Google was a contributor to the DNC and the Clintons. Because it was showing how TARP money was going. There were some of, it was a long list of money that went back to the DNC via who all was donating to them, blah, blah, blah. I won't get into it too much. But for anybody that hadn't, go to Twitter and do hashtag DNC leak. And there's people that have just are going through it right now. And hopefully we're going to have a story up about it a little bit more in depth tomorrow on the antimedia.org. I don't think the corporate mainstream media, I don't think they're going to cover it. I think they'll just ignore it like they did the last leak.
Personally. You mean the corporate mainstream media? You mean all of those people on the DNC and RNC donor list? Nah, they I don't think they've got much to say about it.
How about hyping up he was going to have the October surprise today and nothing? He had everybody up till 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever it ended up being. I ended up going to sleep. I stayed up till like 2:30 and figured, oh, yeah, this ain't going to happen till about 5, so I'm just going to bed.
Now, who released the information? Because from my understanding, Guccifer was who hacked into it, but he thanked Julian Assange for all the work. And that was
because today is the 10th anniversary of WikiLeaks, and that supposedly was his... It was released today because today is the 10th anniversary. That was supposedly Assange's deal, too, because today is the 10th anniversary of WikiLeaks. Then he was going to release all that info this morning. Didn't end up happening. Now they're saying it's going to be in the next few days they're going to release it. I didn't get why you would release it the day of the vice presidential debate. But he didn't release it, so. He'll release it before Sunday, I bet. That's my prediction that he'll, because wait, Sunday's the Tweedledee and Tweedledum debate. Mother and father. Daddy and mother. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Sunday is?
Probably, I think it's Sunday. Yeah. I think that's the next WWE pay-per-view.
Or you can watch it on C-SPAN or PBS.
Yes.
Advertiser free.
Yeah, that is the way to go to do that. It is.
I think so.
Yeah. So, anyways, did y'all see where? Go ahead.
Just don't forget the Koch brothers are a big contributor to PBS. I had to be the. I'm still going to watch it on PBS, and I think that's a ridiculous reason not to watch it. But I saw I saw some hate coming towards PBS. It was mentioned because I guess this is probably more of the Hillary Clark crowd. I won't say necessarily, but it didn't seem to be too keen on Trump in their posts. But they were bashing and bringing up and to the point. They've got a little bit of a point there. But the Koch brothers put a lot of money towards PBS, but by far, I would much rather and feel a lot better watching on PBS if I'm going to watch it than, say, a CNN.
Right, CNN or Fox.
Or NBC, for that matter. General Electric. Anyone?
Any of them. General Electric.
So did y'all see where supposedly Hillary said she wanted to take out Assange with a drone?
That might be why Assange is laying low at the moment.
No, this was from back in like 2010. It was in a cable, and Hillary asked, she says, why can't we just drone the guy? Clinton openly inquired, offering a simple remedy to silence Assange. And WikiLeaks did a planned military drone strike, according to State Department sources. The statement drew laughter from the room, which quickly died off when the secretary kept talking in a terse manner, sources said. Clinton said Assange, after all, was a relatively soft target, quote unquote, walking around freely and thumbing his nose without any fear of reprisals from the U.S. They asked her about it today, and she said she had no recollection, but if she did say it, then it was obviously a joke. Now for
that sounds like a pretty coordinated joke if you think about it, and we're talking about using terms like soft targets. That's not a joke, my friend. That's business as usual in the Clinton household.
Well, I thought it's weird that, you know, Clinton, if it's not an outright denial from a Clinton, usually then it's a lie. That's the problem. I mean, so many lies have been told from all these. What do you believe about anything? What can you believe? That's the really, 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 really pathetic part about all of this. What can you believe from any of them? Nothing.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Right.
People forget,
she was like it's like he's a step away from being R. Kelly. She was like 21 years old. 22, I think. Either way, he was 50-something and the president of the United States. She was young enough to be his daughter.
She was still of age.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there.
But
you know, and the only reason I bring that up is because of the...
people are thinking it, too.
Well, the lawsuit that was put forth against Donald Trump about the girl that alleged that Donald had taken advantage of her, Jeffrey Epstein, name got tossed into the conversation, so it kind of lends a little bit more weight. Did that get tossed out, or is that still active, or what's going on with that lawsuit? Have we heard anything about that?
It's still pending, or at least it's being discussed. But do you believe it? I mean, I know it like you mentioned a minute ago.
I wasn't there, so I mean, I can't comment on that part of it. I mean, we all we can take into account and consideration is what Trump has said and his involvement with very pretty underage girls with the various pageants that he's been involved in. What is it, Miss Universe, I believe it is.
If it was true with Trump, it wouldn't shock me. But at the same time...
It would be a bombshell.
But at the same time, because it hasn't been this perpetual thing for years, and he's been pretty open about how he's been, I don't know, I'm 50-50 on it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was just something done as a political attack.
You always have to consider that, but then they said the same thing about Jennifer Flowers.
We're a lot further away from the Jennifer Flowers situation, and we got a long list of people, and we had, to me, by far the worst one that we know about on this program, Miss Juanita Broderick. That's why it outrages me when they say, well, his infidelities. It's like, that's not... An infidelity, that's just rape. Like, that's a whole different level.
Infidelity makes it kind of sound like a simple misunderstanding, a oops moment. Now, we're talking about a rape.
Yeah.
A violent act toward a woman. Yeah, that's tough, man. That's tough to swallow.
And, you know, there's story after story after story with that. So, I don't know. I don't know about the Trump thing. Could be, could not be. But, you know, I totally would expect it to be done as a political attack as much as I could, you know, as anything. So, I'd probably... No,
well, I mean, these days, all he has to really do is open his mouth. That's the worst political attack that he cannot endure.
Yeah.
What was the most charming thing about him at the beginning of the presidency is just this awe-inspiring, you know, way that he was able to acrobat through conversations has now completely just been shut down. I don't know. We'll see in the next debate, I guess. But at the same time, it really
he's his own worst enemy.
He really is.
He's his own best asset and his own worst enemy, because everything he's done with him just running his mouth. That's how he rolled through the primaries.
Of course, then again, look at who he was up against. Everybody. I mean, really, who he was up, they weren't prepared. Nobody was really prepared for what he brought to the table during those debates. And it was kind of impressive to watch, but at the same time,
it was funny to see all those politicians get talked to like children. I'm not going to say it wasn't. I enjoyed a lot of it.
Oh, little Marco, yeah, that was great.
Because I mean, it's not like those are the most upstanding, greatest people in the world. So to see them talked to like that was pretty hilarious. Look, I look at it as we're screwed with either one of them. So. Best I hope for is I at least want to see him go off on her, just absolutely just snap on her, because it don't matter which one wins. I don't think it's going to be a terrific outcome either way, but at least that way I'll get a good laugh out of something in the whole thing. You know, what else is there to look forward to with this? Nothing. One of them's going to win at the end of it, and both are pretty terrible.
Chaos will ensue.
Yeah. Right. So why not at least get something to laugh at in the meantime? Is just watch him just absolutely go crazy on her in the debate. He didn't do it last time. I want him to bring up Honduras, bring up Haiti.
Oh, yeah.
Bring up Libya. Like, bring up all the real stuff. Bring up all the crazy stuff she's done. Just call her a murderer right there.
That's what we kind of expected, didn't we? Expect that, you know.
I think a lot of people did.
I did. I expected at least him to mention Bill Clinton's rape accusations. That's, yeah. You know, after all, he said he would, and he completely backed off, supposedly because Chelsea was in the room.
Yeah, what a joke.
If she's going to be in the room at every debate. I mean, at some point,
I think probably now more than ever, if you think about it, I don't think she'll miss a single one, and I'll make sure that Hillary will make sure she's sitting front row and center.
Wouldn't you, if you know, knowing exactly, you know, if that was the game being played?
Yeah.
You know, after all, their daughters are both best friends. You know, you'd hate to. Can you imagine the discussions that go on between the daughters? I mean, one of them's got to be like, hey, don't you think, you know, your dad calling my dad a rapist is like, you know, maybe a little harsh? There's got to be discussion between these two.
Chelsea has to know. She may believe it. She may believe her dad's a saint. I don't know how she could.
Well, I mean, you know, of course she knows, because it's a matter of public record. Paula Jones is a matter of public record.
She's got a whole different perspective on it. You got to remember that. Way different than the rest of it.
And you have to wonder, though, how much of that was she shielded from and then had to find out on the internet years later?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what her true perspective throughout all this is?
Yeah, you don't see a lot of pictures of Bill and Chelsea, though. You always see Chelsea and Mom, but you hardly ever see Chelsea and Dad.
Good point. Do you, speaking of Bill Clinton and the dad, have y'all seen this story? It's been going on for years that he's got this illegitimate kid.
Yeah, I know. It was even hinted around. You remember the movie that John Travolta did, Primary Colors, which was the big sensational book when it came out. And that was one of the focal points in that movie, was the fact that he had an illegitimate child of another race. That was bandied about. Man, that was bandied about back when Clinton first ran in his first term.
Yeah, that's
they shut that down quick. Yeah.
Have you been to the kid's page? I stumbled upon his page like 3 weeks ago. He's got a Facebook page, and I was on there like 3 weeks ago because something, I don't know, you know how it is. You're looking at cats, spaghetti monsters, and then you find Bill Clinton's young love child. And
how the hell did you come across that?
It's Facebook, man. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, fair enough.
And you know how it is. But I saw the page in the kid. I think it was some other article, some other newspaper had been talking about this. And so this is not the first time that this has come up. But apparently this kid is gotten to this point where he's gotten to this age where, at least it seems, and again, it's a Facebook page, so you can only gather so much, but it seemed that he was getting ready to let the world know that he was supposedly Bill Clinton's love child. So he's got a Facebook page. I would imagine it's probably blowing up at the moment.
This is really bothering me right now, and I need to go ahead and get this off my chest. I am Bill Clinton's illegitimate love child. I've been holding back for years. I really, when he was president those other two times, it really upset me to see my daddy up on the stage like that, and think about the 15 minutes that he knew my mother in the back of a broom closet at Denny's, 4 o'clock in the morning. She was working hard. She had three other kids she had to support.
I'll tell you what I think it is. I think Bill's got a problem having kids, because otherwise I think he'd have kids everywhere. So that's why I kind of look at it and go, I don't know. I don't know about
this. Bill seems like he's got a problem making kids, or at least attempting to make kids, whether the woman wants to or not. Yeah.
I don't know, but, you need to
keep that thing put up.
It's just another internet story, isn't it? And
put that pistol back in your holder, son.
You can't trust the internet. You can't trust the Clintons. What are you to do?
No, you can't. I really could say that you could probably trust the Clintons. You could probably trust the internet a little bit better than the Clintons.
Probably.
And I just saw a shark, a picture of a shark on a surfboard, being towed by a tractor trailer a minute ago on the internet. And I still think that the internet is a little bit more truthful than the Clintons.
What, I mean, you've never seen a shark riding a surfboard?
Well, I did, but I was under some heavy hallucinogenics.
Did y'all see real quick where the GOP, on their website, before the debate started, because the debate just now ended, before it started, they had, it's clear who lost the vice presidential debate, Hillary Clinton, a story up on their website. Okay, 5 questions Tim Kaine was not asked, and who won the vice presidential debate. These were stories they had up prior to the debate.
That's the news team that Nick needs to assemble right there. That right there. Claire, Nick needs to get a staff of people that can go ahead and put the news out there before it happens.
Well, the GOP did it tonight.
Well, I think Mr. Gibson, you're going to be looking for a job pretty soon, because Nick's probably going to be hiring one of those guys on. That's the real deal right there.
I can predict the future to work for the GOP. Nobody can afford those guys.
Reporting the news before it happens.
That's it. But they're pulling up a 404 error now. But yeah, they pulled the stories, but the links are still there. But there was a screenshot of one of them that just says it gave Mike Pence's top moment from the debate. It says Mike Pence made the most of his opportunity to debate Hillary's VP pick Tim Kaine. The other clear winner from tonight's debate was Donald Trump. His running mate perfectly shared Trump's vision to make America great again, and that his message is resonating with Americans all across the country.
Resonating.
Again.
Reverberating.
This was all written and posted before the debate even happened. It says the consensus was clear after the dust settled. Mike Pence was the clear winner of the debate.
Now, did you keep up with the debate and find out exactly the five things that they didn't ask him? They actually didn't ask him that?
I figured, yeah, I mean, obviously, I guess they had read the script beforehand. But
the script from both candidates, yeah. With Vince's signature at the bottom of it, yeah.
So I wonder, I'm going to have to see if I can hunt around and find a screenshot of what their five questions were that, and see if he wasn't asked them. Because that would be interesting to know. Like, did they know that far in advance? Which I would just assume they would.
Yes, I would too, and I think we've commented and remarked on that on the show throughout this election cycle. You know, that's really, I mean, that's where we're at in politics in 2016 America, and it's been like that for some time, but it never has it been this out in the open. And you have to be a complete idiot to not see what's going on here. And unfortunately, all I have to do is get back on social media and I'll see plenty of idiots that are completely duped by this whole process.
I just
they still think we live in the 50s, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're far away from that. But
No, we're not, because look, we're fixing to go to war with Russia again. Well, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Just politically, the sport of it, the WWE side of it all. From what I saw, Keynes was just terrible. And I had a friend of mine who absolutely despises Trump and despises Pence. But he said, he just sent me his synopsis and says, Pence is literally saying nothing, but I've got to give him credit. He seems like he's berating his daughter's boyfriend after a couple of casual bourbons on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, that's sweet.
So, yeah, I don't think Tim Kaine did very well. So, of course, I assume all the fact checkers at CNN, they're all going to say that
This is a vice presidential debate. There is nothing of any substance that you can't get from watching an old episode of Knight Rider. I mean, really.
I mean, but will it be as entertaining, though? Knight Rider was sometimes entertaining.
Oh, dude. Oh, no, yeah, man. Knight Rider was a dumb bomb. That had the Hoff, dude. It had a talking car. Man, are you serious?
I'll give you
Knight Rider was the bomb.
That was a foolish question. Did you keep up with any of it, Kevin? Were you able to see any of the debate before the show
started? Yeah, I was. Speaking of Knight Rider, my brother's middle name is Michael.
Thank you. Let's get back on Knight Rider. Let's get back on some real subjects, some real topics. Oh, yeah.
My brother's name's Michael Knight. Funny, huh? My parents weren't 80s. Well, it's the middle name and last name. But yeah, I did catch up. I'll be honest with you. I think Pence kind of gave it to his so-called Democratic opponent. But it was more of the same. And, you know, I didn't really expect to see a lot of substance. But I think one of them was prepared.
I figured it'd be way more scripted, but
oh yeah,
Kaine just was interrupting every 5 seconds, and not in like a forceful "I'm in charge" kind of way. He just kind of came across like he didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah, he didn't. I don't think he really didn't. And Pence, you mentioned this a little while ago. It looked like a politician versus somebody who wasn't, or looked a lot less so. Yeah. I think Pence kind of gave it to him, and I'm no Trump and Pence fan whatsoever. But
no, but you know, it is what it is. The show is what it is. I'm surprised that it was so kind of one sided. Like from what I saw, I didn't see the second half of it. I didn't see. You know, I've had it on, but you know, I don't know what they're saying.
Right, we've not been able to pay attention to the last.
Does it matter what they're saying? No, not really. It doesn't. But is it going to encourage me to go out and vote for one of the candidates? No.
No?
It's just watching the show.
But neither one of these goons are actually going to be. I mean, neither one of them are actually elected to office anyways. And how much power does a vice president really have?
I'll say this for this one. You got Trump, who isn't going to have any idea what he's doing. So And Pence has already said that he really looks up to Dick Cheney and would like to model his vice presidency after Dick Cheney. So he could be somebody to be concerned with. And Tim Kaine could be president 2 days after Hillary does, because she could fall over dead of an aneurysm.
Maybe she already has and has been replaced with a robot.
Maybe.
Yeah, the jury's still out on that one.
Right. I mean, you know, I get that everybody believes, some people, I guess, that she's healthy, but she's clearly, obviously not. I don't think there's even conspiracy involved. I mean, she's obviously a 68-year-old woman, not in the best of health.
Yep.
So, you know, that has something to do with the vice president, so... Tim Kaine is the president. How amazing would that be? Wow. What a joke.
Not near as amazing as if Joe Biden would have been the...
Yeah, Joe would have been way funnier, though.
Oh, can you imagine how many people he would have been hitting on twice? Like, how
that
many
would have been way funnier. That would have been... Tim Kaine seems like he's the mean drunk uncle. Joe Biden comes across like he's the lovable drunk uncle.
Yeah, oh, you can go ahead and grab my ass. Go ahead. That's just old Uncle Joe being that way. He's had a couple bourbons and bourbons and coke. He's just acting that way. Just let him grab your titty. It ain't no big deal.
What was his comment that he made one time about they were talking about being minorities in his area? He's like, there clearly are. He goes, you can't walk into a 7-Eleven without seeing an Indian person. And I was just like, did you really just say that?
No.
Like, you're the vice president. Did you say those words?
Did you happen to see Tim Kaine's tweet about when his wife told him? I wanted to believe this.
Do you believe that?
I don't know. You know what? I'll save that. I'll have to go verify that again. I see so much stuff, and I don't believe
it's real.
I don't think it was real either now, but in a moment of clarity at some point, actually, I remember looking it up, and because it just doesn't seem like it could be real. I mean, surely not. I'll tell you what.
For those who don't know, there's a tweet going around that says something. It's supposedly a Tim Kaine tweet that has since been deleted that talks about him having, what, an open marriage or something? What was
an open marriage? Whoa, do tell.
Kevin?
When she, it's something to the effect of when my wife told me, you know what, and now you say that it's been deleted. If it's supposedly been deleted, I'll probably believe it's fake. But he is supposedly, when my wife told me she wanted to see other people, something, I took it not as a sign of disrespect, but a sign as something me giving into her.
Something weird.
Something, yeah. Something that just, you know, is not, it's one of those things that you know automatically, hey, this has got to be, you know, it's ridiculous. But every once in a blue moon, the ridiculous turns out to be legit. So
again, I have to say, with any of these stories that I'm like, I don't really believe that, look, nothing at this point would shock me if it was true. Like, I wouldn't go, no way. Like, I'd be kind of like, oh, that's amazing that happened. But I don't personally think that happened, that he sent that tweet out, just because why? That seems, why would he have done that? None of that would make
sense. Well, I do have to ask the question that just really, I got to throw this out there. Now, if we're talking about, let's just, you know, suppose for a second that he's talking about the possibility or leaving the door open for having an open relationship in his marriage, what business is that of ours?
I don't
know. If somebody's going to screw around with their wife and then lie about it and then try to, like, you know, murder people to cover it up, Bill Clinton, then, you know, that's one thing. But something that's going on between consenting adults, because that kind of opens the door even further. Like, let's say if we ever had someone who is openly gay run for president.
Up to this point, they've all just been in the closet gay.
I mean, I guess what I'm fishing for here from the two of you is at what point do we draw the line on something like that? When is personal actually, honest to God, really personal when we're talking about the president?
Right. I don't think they would ever make it that way, even though there probably some stuff should be, you know, like, big deal. Who cares? Honestly, if you're not, you can talk about infidelities, right? Let's name a president that you can't think of that there's some rumor going on about. You don't think it was, I guess, a few of them. But FDR, who cares? Who cares what he did? Kennedy, nobody judges him for it. Look at Martin Luther King. The truth is the truth on that one. He had a
widely reported upon.
That's between not me and him. That's all I got to say about it. Now, he may have to take up those issues. Anybody like that may have to take up those issues with somebody somewhere, but I'm not that person. Let's just talk about how, you know, we cannot get into World War III with Russia right now. That seems like the biggest concern.
There we go.
That seems like our biggest, most pressing concern at the moment. Not any of that other stuff. But we've had Kim Kardashian to talk about in the news, so that's been a
screw her. Who cares about her? Gosh,
I guess
I'm
a big distraction for people. Now, has that actually been airing on like CNN and stuff? I have no idea. I haven't watched the debate tonight. I haven't watched any.
I'm going to say this one thing, and I'm going to shut up about it. Apparently she was robbed of how many millions of dollars worth of jewelry. If you're dumb enough to walk around with that much jewelry on, then you're dumb enough to get stolen from. And I'm sorry, that's just my feeling about it.
I'm not
saying stealing from somebody's right, but at the same time, you kind of invite that sort of thing when you're just flashing a bunch of cash and walking around in somewhere that's not down the street from you. She was over in Paris.
I don't wish ill will on any of them. I literally can't stomach talking another second about it. I want to throw this to you, Kevin, real quick. One question I have to ask. I just want to say the headline and just get your response, which I'm probably sure you already know. Gary Johnson.
I knew it.
Oh, here he goes.
I can't start wars with places if I can't find them on a map.
He's got my vote.
I think it's funny. It's true, but I'd have to see the context in which it was said, to be honest with you, because I've met
I
the guy.
I thought it was fake when I first saw it. I really did.
I read it earlier, but I didn't actually verify it at this point. I'm just kind of shaking my head because so many other comments are not added with context. So I assume this was, I hoped this was probably one.
He was talking to Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC.
Okay, gotcha. Well, Gary, he's a goofball, man. You know, he's not presidential whatsoever. and that's fine with me. I don't think the other two are really are presidential either.
Other two, you're leaving out Vermin Supreme. That's the most least presidential candidate running still, and he's definitely got my vote.
He's the most real guy out there.
What's the deal with Vice Gary's running mate saying that Hillary was the most qualified to be president? Who said that?
I agree. I think he was talking in reference to Trump, but keep in mind he was in a CNN panel, so of course he was that was Will doing his thing to play politics.
That guy's a joke.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people aren't happy. Good night, guys.
That's it for us, Anti-Media Radio. For Shane and Kevin, I'm S.M. Gibson. We'll be back on Thursday. Nick will be here tomorrow night on UCY. Anti-Media Radio out.
Peace.
Yo, here we go through the stereo.